Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. For the past 5 weeks, I've been preaching a series entitled, You Must Be Born Again. And obviously, we're talking about the new birth, and that's mainly from the book of John, chapter 3, where Christ was speaking to a man named Nicodemus, a religious man, telling him that he must be born again or he cannot even see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, John chapter 3 and verse 3. And that's been the basis of these messages. Today I'm going to conclude this series on the new birth. Being born from above, Christ said, except you be born again, born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then later on he said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. God's people, and what the Bible calls, whom the Bible calls God's elect, whom he chose before the foundation of the world in Christ, whom he justified based upon what Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross in his obedience unto death, the righteousness of God. I dealt with that all through these messages, but I dealt with it last week too. And I urge you to get those messages if you haven't heard them. Study this from the scripture. And that's what I try to do. I try to guide you in the scripture. And so, the new birth, Christ talking about that, God's elect, whom God justified in Christ, whom Christ redeemed on the cross, are brought to enter the kingdom personally by the power of God in the new birth through the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. By nature, as we're naturally born, we're born dead in trespasses and sins. We don't have spiritual life, naturally. That's why the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We don't have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see and hear the glory and the truth and the reality and the value of the things of God. That's why Christ told the disciples, he said, the Pharisees, he said, they don't see these things, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And that's why he said you must be born again. And that's how God's elect enter the kingdom, under the preaching of the gospel. And I stressed that last week, and I want to show you a couple more scriptures on that. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about being begotten again, being born again. And he says in verse 22, this is 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, it was the Spirit of God that brought you to believe the truth. It wasn't you just making the right decision of your own free will. That's a myth. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He says, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now look at verse 23. Being born again, or having been born again, not of corruptible seed. Remember over in John 1, 12, 13, it talks about not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, or works of the flesh, not of the will of man. You weren't born again by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now the word, you know, in the Bible, you know, it was originally written in New Testament Greek, and there's some Aramaic, but the word can be, go back to the originals, it's different words. And the word here is probably one that most of you are familiar with if you've read much of the Bible. It's logos. And it's the same word that is used in John 1 when he says, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and talking about Christ himself as the Logos. And he says in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory. So that's what this is. And it's speaking of Christ, but it's also speaking of that which communicates Christ by the power of the Spirit in the gospel. And let me prove that to you. He says, by the Word, this is verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. And look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's the word logos. And this is the word. Now that word there is another word in the Greek. It's the word rhema. And it's the uttered word, the preached word. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So what he's showing here is that this new birth is by the power of God in Christ, who is our life, who sends the Spirit to powerfully and invincibly give life to dead sinners through the preaching of the Word, making the gospel the power of God unto their salvation by giving them life from Christ. Some of the old writers said that the new birth is the impartation of the resurrection life of Christ. And I like that. That's good. Christ arose from the dead. And that's what happens when we're born again. We spiritually rise from the dead. That's a resurrection. And it's a powerful one. And it doesn't come as the result of our decision or our faith or our free will. It comes by the sovereign power of God through Christ by the Spirit. And it comes under the preaching of the Word of life. Remember when all those people who claimed to believe on Christ, I believe it's in John 6, and they left him, and he turned to his disciples and he said, will you go away also? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. His words are life, see? And so it's under the preaching of the gospel. Now, the new birth, you could think of different terms that can describe the new birth, different aspects of it. One word is regeneration. Titus spoke of that, or in the book of Titus speaks of that, how that where the washing of regeneration by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration. It's the giving of new life. You can talk about quickening. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That quickening is giving life, the impartation of life. But life can only be known by its evidences. Christ told Nicodemus that. He talked about the Spirit of God who brings about the new birth. And he says the wind blows and listeth where it will. You don't know where it's come from, where it's going. You just know the effects of it. And what his point was is the new birth is the same way. The Spirit of God coming. You know it by the effects of it. And so, have I been quickened? Have I been regenerated? Have I been given life? Well, the first thing I need to know is, what am I listening to? What am I hearing? If I'm sitting under the preaching of a false gospel and loving that and believing that, and that's my hope, a false gospel, then I can tell you I haven't been quickened. That's what the Scripture would say. A corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit. A good tree, that's Christ in the gospel, the giver of life, the giver of the righteousness of God, as we've seen, right? He cannot produce evil fruit. Now, there may be evil fruit, people, unsaved people listening to the gospel, but they weren't produced by the gospel. That's just what they naturally are. And the gospel becomes a savor of death unto death to them, as Paul wrote in one passage. So am I listening to the gospel? The word of truth? Last week we looked at 2 Thessalonians 2, talking about those who perish because they receive not the love of the truth. But the elect, the beloved of God, Paul gave thanks to them because God hath from the beginning chosen them to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit setting them apart from the world through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth whereunto he called you by our gospel. So one of the evidences of being born again, having given, is to be called. And it's an effectual calling. It's an invincible calling of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't use preachers. He does. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called by the, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So this new birth involves a calling. And that calling is unto conversion, conviction and conversion. Over in the book of John chapter 6. Now I know I'm showing you a lot of scriptures, but I urge you to get these messages and listen to them and follow along or write these down. But in John chapter 6, the passage that I quote quite often, in verse 37, listen to this. Now, this is John 6, 37. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Every sinner whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ, they're going to come to him. And he says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Somebody argue and say, "Well, then there's no use me trying to come to Christ because if he didn't choose me before the foundation of the world, I won't come anyway." No, you're not to think that way because you're not God. You're to act upon what God reveals in his word. The secret things belong to God. God knows whom he chose before the foundation. He wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. The scripture says, that's a metaphor, that God knows their name. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows. I don't. And so what he tells me to do is to believe the gospel. He commands me to believe the gospel, to come to Christ. He commands me to go out and preach to anybody who will listen. And he'll bring them in. He knows his people and he'll bring them in. And so he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh me, I will in no wise cast out." If you come to Christ, the true Christ now, of the Bible, not a false Christ, not a counterfeit, not this Jesus that people are looking at today, who's leaning over the banister of heaven just hoping that you'll make the right decision. That's not the true Christ. But if you'll come to the true Christ, I guarantee you, he will in no wise cast you away. Because if you come to him, he's drawn you. Now, how do I know that? Well, look at verse 44 of John 6. Now, this is all in line with the new birth. Listen to it. He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." The new birth involves a drawing. This word "draw" here is the same word that's used in the parable of the dragnet. Like he cast out the net and he drug in those fishes. And somebody asked me one time, he said, "Well, you mean that God drags us to himself against our will?" No. He draws us unto himself with cords of love by changing our will. He gives us a new desire. You see, a new want to, as somebody said. And so he says, no man can do that except the Father draw him. It has to be a drawing. Now, how does the Father draw his people? Well, in the new birth. Well, look at verse 45. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God." God's going to teach them. Now, how does God teach them? Through his word. He's going to teach them who God is. In his sovereignty, his holiness, his justice, as well as his love, mercy, and grace. He's going to show them how God is both a just God and a Savior because of the one ground of salvation, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ imputed. the righteousness of God. He's going to teach us about ourselves. What am I? There's only two kinds of people in this world in that vein. There's either sinners lost in their sins and sinners saved by grace. All salvation conditioned on Christ. You may be a religious person. You may be an immoral person. If you're an immoral person, you need to stop and turn your life around. But my friend, whether you're religious or immoral, I can tell you this. If you don't know Christ, you're lost. You need a righteousness you cannot produce. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's in Romans 3. Therefore, by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. That's what he teaches. I'm a sinner. If God ever gave me what I've earned and deserved, it would be eternal death and damnation. Right now, if he did that. I'm a mercy beggar, as one old elder used to say. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so he says in verse 45, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard. Now, faith comes by hearing. But by nature, being dead in trespasses and sins, you don't have ears to hear until God gives them to you. But have you heard? You don't have to sit around and wonder if God has given you ears to hear. Do you hear? How many times in the book of Revelation did the Lord say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you do not have to sit there, wherever you are, and wonder, has God given me ears to hear? No. All you have to do is hear. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do you really hear it? Think about that. So every man therefore that hath heard. Now, if you've heard, here's what you've heard. And learned of the Father. Learn who God really is. And as far as him being a father, you can look up all the passages that talk about the adoption, the sonship of his children, Abba, Father. That means to see God as Father is to see him as the God of all grace who saves sinners, not by their works or their will. That's what he says. He says, it's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy, but saves sinners based upon what Christ has accomplished on Calvary's cross, period. The putting away of our sins, the establishment of righteousness. I have no righteousness but Christ. And God is both a just God and a Savior to me. He can love me in justice because of what Christ did. That's the Father. And if you've heard and learned of the Father, you know what's going to happen? He says, everyone hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. You're going to flee to Christ. You're going to run to Christ and nobody will be able to stop you. And if you'll turn to John 16, I want to conclude this series with this right here. This thing of the new birth, it's a regeneration, it's a quickening, it's giving life, it's calling, it's a conversion. He converts us. He changes our thinking concerning who God is and who we are and who Christ is and how God saves sinners. And it's a convincing, a conviction. Christ here in John 16 speaking to his disciples about his death. And here's what he says. He says in verse 7 of John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's necessary for you, he's saying, that I go away. Well, where was he going? Well, he was going to Jerusalem. That's true. But he wasn't going to stop in the city and have a party or anything. He was going to be arrested, to be derided. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be tried unjustly. And eventually, where was he going? To the cross. To die. And after death, he went into the grave. He went into the tomb. But that's not where he's at now. He's going away. He's going to the Father. Going to be resurrected from the dead. Raised from the dead. And that's his ultimate destination, to save his people by the blood of his cross, redeem them from their sins, and be seated and being having died, being resurrected from the dead, and ascended unto the Father, ever living to make intercession for him. So he says, all of that is necessary for you, or there'll be no salvation. Look at it again, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, who's the Comforter there? That's the Holy Spirit. If Christ had not done his work on the cross, there'd be no life to give. You see that? What is the new birth? The new birth is the giving of spiritual life to God's people, his elect, his church, his sheep, his people. And if Christ and that new life, Christ is the source of that life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As I mentioned in Romans 5:21, sin demands death. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. If Christ had not gone away to the cross, to the grave, to be raised again and go to the Father, there'd be no righteousness. His death is our righteousness. His obedience unto death is the only righteousness, the righteousness of God. So he says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And look at verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove. Now that word reprove means convince. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now here's another passage that uses the word world. And most people would go to that passage and they say, well, just like John 3:16, that means everybody without exception. Well, first of all, John 3:16 does not mean everybody without exception. John 3:16 means everyone who believes. The world of believers. God's elect out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. But the word world here in verse 8 does not mean everybody without exception. Who does it mean? It means everybody in the world. No matter what their race, no matter what their sex, no matter what they are, everybody in the world whom the Holy Spirit brings under the preaching of the gospel and convinces of these three things, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, if you've been convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, you're part of this world here. This is the world of God's elect. How do you know? Because they're going to be convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And not everybody in the world is going to be convinced of that. Well, have I been convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Well, let's look on. Look at verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. It's not just sins that man by nature recognizes and condemns. You watch the local newscast or you pick up the paper and you see some of the most heinous sins that man could ever commit. Children being murdered. Masses of people being slain. Gunshots, all of that. Drugs, prostitution, gang wars, all that. Some of the most heinous sins. But sin goes far beyond that. Sin is applied. This word sin here is the most common New Testament word for sin, means to miss the mark. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They've missed the mark. And what that means is this. Even those people who are religious and moral in the eyes of others, no matter how good they try to be, they miss the mark. Of sin, because they believe not on me. You see, the mark and the standard of righteousness is Christ. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given an assurance unto all men and he hath raised him from the dead. Christ is the standard of righteousness. If I'm not as good as him, it's sin. Now that's what he's saying. And what is he telling us? There's no way we can be saved based on our works. Our best works. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. At my best in this world, I'm still a sinner in need of grace, in need of the blood of Christ, in need of his righteousness. And go on to the second one here, verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. How am I going to attain righteousness? Well, the answer is I cannot attain it. The Jews tried to under the law and they missed it. There's only one way that I can be made righteous in God's sight, and that is in Christ. Based upon his righteousness, his obedience unto death, his merits imputed, charged to me. That's the only way. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end, the finishing, the fulfillment, completion, perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The Holy Spirit's going to convince me of that. Convince me of my sinfulness. Convince me that my only hope of righteousness is in Christ. That I may be know him and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. And then verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And what is he talking about, judgment there? Well, it certainly could include that the fact that when I stand before God at judgment, my only hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. And the only way that I'm going to pass judgment is to plead Christ. And that's the only way. Now, if you've been convinced that my sins were put away and judged on the cross when the prince of this world was judged. Now, if you've been convinced of this, there's three things. You cannot deny it. You cannot ignore it. And you cannot leave it. You must have it. You can't live without it. That's what the scripture teaches. It's your life. You must be born again. I hope you'll join us for another message from God's Word. Thank you.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.